Australian Bible Church, October the 28th, 2012. A Presbyterian Church following the Bible, without qualification, in the Lord Jesus Christ, without compromise by faith, as a matter of fact, in agreement with the basic thrust of the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church of Australia, 1901. And this morning, the Rockets, the Rock and the Relief. First of all, let's look at the Rockets, searching for foundations aloft. You don't normally take a balloon and go up 5 miles to find your foundation. That seems to be the direction of flow in some of the extremely sophisticated searchings of today. There is a centre called the Centre for SETI Research, S-E-T-I, that is a search for extraterrestrial intelligence. It should be good to see more spiritual intelligence on Earth, but they're seeking up in the skies where masses of molten and vaporous things exist in starry splendor for some sort of intelligence. And they're specializing, these people in SETI research, in signal processing technology. That means they're looking for ways of discerning, discovering, finding, analyzing the signals, intelligence at work, rays and wonders spreading through space to give intelligibility from the skies and foundations for man. Harvard University and Berkeley, California are also involved in these wondrous pursuits. Looking for life. Just as if a mortician were examining a corpse in case he could see some sign of life against all evidence and rational expectation. NASA is so determined, even in this budget-chomping era, to find something for its new project in the $2.2 billion Mars rover. The rover for Mars, which has a name, and the name, Curiosity. There is no small intent in this multi-billion-dollar expedition to find life, signals, intelligence, whatever may be grasped from molten matter and varied exhibits of astronomical activity. While the earth is filled with the language of life, we're not only all systematized in the DNA of which we hear so much, equipped with codes to govern and maintain code usage, that is, material which is useless, unless, as in all codes, you've got someone to receive it, it'll understand it. Or a system which has been prepared to propel and to receive and to act. All three things. Make it work, have something receive it, and have the stuff ready for the thing that receives it to do what it's told. Do all that. And it's in our bodies, not in space. We can't learn a lesson that's sitting right in our vocal cords and our mouths, in every nucleated cell, magnificent in splendor, miniaturized to a marvel, when will we listen? Always sufficient. God has acted and then ceased. Just as significant in one way, God poured forth data and information. Professor Gitt in his research institute in Berlin tells us you never in fact will find any information being made without intelligence. Of course you can't. Information is conceptual material organized for reading and understanding and disposed so get a purpose fulfilled at the thing to which it is directed. Scientific method, he points out, insists you never find information being created without intelligence. Just because it was created in huge rushes, as in the Cambrian era, even according to the theories. of those who do not understand. Whole eras coming suddenly, as is attested on all sides, into being, though for different reasons. And then it stops. If a man like Handel writes the Messiah in 3 weeks, and then stops, isn't the stopping significant also? The burning brilliance of the creative information organized and played so that people can listen. Of course, there's a purpose, a receptor, the codes, and the people who will benefit from it. But then he stops. The stopping, like the stopping of lava, signifying this is not just part of what happens. This is a purposive thrust of information thrusting itself out into creation, and then saying, that's it. You write a book, that's it. You do a dance, it's finished. Both things are significant. One indicating the stylized significance of the action, the other, the fact that it's not just a normal event, it is an intrusive purpose. Those of you who haven't read Kitt's book, Without Excuse, which of course is referring to Romans 1, where without excuse the manifestation of God's power is obvious, might well do so. But it's only one of many in this era and area. I say God stopped the manufacture from the beginning of the archetypes for all living things. So miniaturized that one famous scientist pointed out you could put the whole lot in a teaspoon of all the things of life. That is, at the material level. If you're not marveling and worship, why not? But there's a far better reason to worship. There is now going on what we find in 2 Corinthians 5, which you might care to look up. There's now going on a different kind of creation. And this one hasn't stopped, though many people seek to stop it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Every time someone sunk in the sin and structured foolishness of this world finds out about God, about what he said in our hearts, to our minds, what he wants, the way on, the way home, the meaning of identity, the purpose of life, the provisions of redemption, then there's a new creation. There's somebody who no longer is footloose and fancy-free or feeling doomed by an undesired destiny, as the case may be. There is a new creation. Somebody has woken up, you see it in classes sometimes. Something, the light dawns. But this is a light not just about a theory or an understanding or a language. This is a light about life. Christ is the Prince of Life. All things have become new. How? Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, says Paul to the Christians. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And the world refuses to accept the reconciliation which is constituted by the cross, removing the obstructions and allowing free concourse between God and man. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation, says Paul. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading to us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Don't go away as a misfit. Find the place in the design of Deity for yourself. For he has made him, says Paul, who knew no sin, that is Christ, to be sin for us, that is a sin sacrifice, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, for he gives the gift as when you enter a school, you become a college student of that school, so when you enter Christ, you become a gifted new creation with a credit account in righteousness, a gift of God, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and the justification, which means the cancellation of guilt, because of the provision of the death sacrifice of Christ. Thus, we do not need rockets into space, but the rock of our foundation. Not nebulous, but necessary. It's his intelligence, so far from being artificial or floating in space, which has made space. If you want to float in desperate defiance of reason, then if you must, do it. But don't blame God for your endless dilemmas, uncertainties, moral questions, and destiny gaping gap. The results of all these things are seen continually. The newspapers constantly running a good imitation of prophecy, for we are the most gifted generation since the time when Christ was, in seeing the word of God fulfilled on all sides. We come now to the rock of reality. We're no longer looking for a foundation floating in space. We're looking for the rock of reality on which we are founded. There are many scriptures telling us about this rock, and to these we now address ourselves. Very important in this connection is Psalm 18. One of my pets. Because it starts off with love. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Grand, this is where you belong. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. That's where trust belongs. People say I've lost faith in the human race. How did you ever have it? Trust in God. I mean, a dog going with his tail between his legs, looking right and left, going through the traffic, a poor, dusty, old, neglected thing, you feel sorry for it. Where is its trust? Where is its master? It belongs to the master. And then you see another dog with its master, the loving, devotional trust directed to the eyes, clearly discernible. My God, my strength is the psalmist, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Now I want to take you on that word stronghold. It can be translated high tower. Very fascinating is the background to that word. It comes from a verb, or what may be called a denomination, as I say, a noun which comes from a verb. It comes from a verb which means inaccessibly high, to be inaccessibly high. So it may well be translated, and I much prefer the translation, my high tower, as in the Authorized. My high tower, my inexpressibly high, fortress of defense, towering up. The height suggestive of the force and the power and the view and the understanding and the strategy and the skill. You find the same thing in Psalm 139:6. Such knowledge is lofty, is high, when he's speaking of the knowledge of the wonder workings of the DNA, though he didn't use that term, in the baby as it progresses towards maturity. Proverbs tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, Proverbs 18:10. And the righteous runs into it and is safe. I love that. I love the thought of, there it is, this great tower, much more powerful than the CIA building in Langley, Virginia. This high tower, this magnificent fortress, you run into it, and you say, and if you care not for it, like some of the people who didn't worry about air raid shelters when the Germans were bombing. By the way, don't forget that Dresden was also bombed. It's a very nasty business. It wasn't three or four people, as Israel may be accused of killing, but many thousands, of course. It was a war. But so it is, there is this high tower, and God, in the splendor of his infinitude, is available on request. Who ever heard of it? You don't request immigration and hope that the incredibly high standards of the kingdom of heaven may one day, perhaps after years of labor, become yours. As is the case with some, for example, whether from India or whether from the Philippines or wherever, who want to come to Australia. Call call upon the name of the Lord in the day of trouble, and he will hear you. Take hold of his covenant of sacrifice, and he will heed you. If you put your trust in him who has sent Christ, if you put your trust in Christ who has come, if you believe in him, you have everlasting life, accepting his sacrifice. The rock that had in it a niche, a place into which you could run, one which was made available freely purely because that niche in the rock came from the explosive horror of the crucifixion. And the rock yielded itself that man might find God freely. We looked at Psalm 18, we look at Psalm 62. In looking at the rock of reality and what is available, and what is its nature? Psalm 62, verse 2. He only, only. There is no other way. Again, look at immigration. It's supposed to come to the government. And if you come anyway, well, the government does what it's going to do. If you come to God, well, you've got to come to the manner of ingress which he gives you. He only is my rock. Who? The Lord himself. In doing what? In becoming vulnerable, viciously attacked, bearing the sentence on sin that those who come to him might not have to. But in finding him will be, remember, a new creation. And by nature, not just by form, a member of that great kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, which as Daniel tells us, is the one that will never be destroyed. He only, says Psalm 62 verse 2, is my rock and my salvation. So it's not only a rock, it's a salvation. It's a delivering emporium. Here's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. Then in verse 5, my soul waits silently for God alone. If you're going to trust in God, don't trust in somebody else as well, because the chain, as you know, the weakest link is the problem. For my expectation is from him. Have faith, have trust. Don't trust in yourself. He only is my rock. He only. Can you say that? You should learn it. You should learn it in your heart, with sentences written by the Holy Spirit, as he puts his law in your heart, and the Lord by him lives in you. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Are you worried, troubled, anxious, burdened? He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Now, I simply love this, the way it says in verse 2, I shall not be greatly moved. And then in verse 6, I shall not be moved. We progress. Trust in him, verse 8, at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. Don't imagine that you come into God's presence and the one who gave you speech can't listen. God is a refuge to us. We've looked at Psalm 18. We've looked at Psalm 62. We look at 2 Samuel 22, where we hear words from King David, who'd had a life of practical action and military splendor, of tremendous difficulties, both with power and without it. We look at what he has to say. 22:31-32 of 2 Samuel. As for God, he speaks as one who knows him. Do you? If not, it's high time to become acquainted with what's the author of your babyhood and the judge of your destiny. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. It is. Find a place where what it said failed and something else substituted. Thousands of years is the testimony. That's a supra-scientific fact. What of science's, man's wisdom, what of those ideas that they'd last unchanging for thousands of years? As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He's a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? If you accept the gods of false religions, which you cannot respect any more than a doctor can respect influenza or cancer, though he loves his patients, that's why he doesn't respect the curse upon them. Who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? None other. That's what he's found. We come to Isaiah 28:16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion, Christ did come to Jerusalem, you will recall, a stone for foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Our foundation is God, and God came to earth to give us information that we should go to our foundation in peace. A sure foundation. Whoever believes in him will not act hastily, or as Paul puts it, will not be ashamed. There is the foundation. There is no other. If you don't choose the foundation, there's no room. Because all the rooms are built on this foundation, concerning which we look at 1 Corinthians. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, concerning whom we look at Acts 4. Verse 11 and 12. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders. They killed him instead of having him as king. They offered him kingship for the wrong reasons, but for the right ones they killed him. That is, seeing what he really meant, they didn't want it. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name. Where? Under heaven. Given among men. His Majesty gives the name that you need. You've heard of dropping names? This is one you better pick up. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which, these next two words are crucial, we must. This is not an option for your car or your TV or your computer. This is a necessity if you live, and if you wish to live forever or live life abundantly at all. No other name given among men by which we must be saved. This is the stone rejected by the builders. This is the foundation. Cease, says Isaiah chapter 2, in verse 22. Marvelous exhortation. Cease from men. Even at that, the New King James Version got it wrong, but the Authorized didn't. The Authorized is nearly always correct. Those old languages are sometimes a problem that can be overcome. Cease from man! Isaiah 2, 22. Look it up. It's great. Whose breath is in his nostrils. I mean, when you come to think of it, how in the world would you ever sensibly or intelligently rest your faith and confidence in someone who breathes in and out or is finished? Someone operating in a design thing with a whole multitude of systems with a hierarchical functionality, each one depending on another or several collateral. How could you depend for your life? Someone can die in a second. Cease from man, from his works, his monstrous dreams, his false prophets, his ideas for the world. Cease from man. Why? For of what account is he? That's what Isaiah said. Of what account is he? How in the world could anyone, confused, trusting in man, with his methods, his philosophies, his politics and his military powers, instead of in the one who made man to have an intelligence so that he could intelligibly investigate the world which God intelligently made, so that man with intelligence and logic can understand the world out there, because the world out there was made by logic just as his mind was made by logic, and they fit like hand in hand, and logic's everywhere. And one part of the logic is this, that if you forsake the logos, the logic, the cause, the meaning, the method, then you're condemned already, as John 3 tells us. You've forgotten your mercy. You live on yourself. You're interested in what? You're interested in your psyche, your new-made morals, your spiritual ideas, your comprehension of the universe. You wonder whether you'll trust this. These ideas appeal to you from the past. These hopes, according to modern ideas, those wishes, these desires, they clangor, they have clangor together. They do not cohere. You wander, you wander, you go here, you go there. And so does the nation. Of the rock from which you've come, you have forgetfulness. It's a very interesting book, which I have been reading. And it's The Us and Them War. The Us and Them War. We're looking at international spy agencies, the CIAs and what used to be the KGB and all the other activities, MI5, MI6, and the people in them. And they're warring against each other, and there's a new idea. There's to be something superseding atomic weaponry. There's to be a new power which will gush into history the same way as the atomic did. And this will be way above the atomic, and whoever gets his power first, he will have the power to rule all the others. And then somebody will say, well, I'll make arms reduction, because that will keep them going while I finish getting my superpower when I'll dominate the lot. And as these people in this particular book are seen operating, you see the different equations here and there in different people. There's one man. He has a leaning towards morality, but a leaning towards cynicism. He's a leaning towards hope, but a leaning towards realism. And all these things come. His psyche manufactures something. He has an interview with somebody, and that somebody looks and he says, you're just self-centered. You just make up your own psyche and what you're going to do with it. Dead right. The rock is a replacement for self-centeredness, national-centeredness, and philosophic intoxication. With God, you trust in someone whose purity is infinite. He doesn't waver from total honesty, accuracy. He's impervious to deceit. He's impervious to iniquity. He's impervious to change. He knows the end from the beginning, as Isaiah 46 tells us. And with that assurance, you come to him or you don't. You float your own morals until it hits a reef. Or you exist on a rock as your foundation, as your fortress, as your insurpassably high and wonderful tower. This then is the rock of reality. This is to be found when you cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for what, in what way is he to be accounted? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. When somebody makes just a slight little suggestion that you waver just a teeny-weensy little bit from righteousness and rectitude and honesty, you say no. Why not? Because my high tower, which is not only soaring to the heights, but foundational to the depth, hasn't made me for that. He's real, I'm real, the world is real. I would no more vary from reality than a scientist would expect to vary from the foundational laws of physics. That's it, that's real, reality. I'm not afraid of reality. Christ is my Redeemer. and in Him I'll walk with a righteousness which is delicious, which never changes, can't be turned upside down. And so I will have peace. May many come to that peace, to the power of the inaccessibly high, magnificently low, foundationally functioning rock. That's how you can have an event such as found in Isaiah 7. King Ahaz was in trouble nationally. King of Judah. Other nations were going to attack him. The prophet Isaiah comes up to him. Here is a king in a quandary. A king in weakness. A king who had been sinful. A king who had been grievous to the Lord. A king who had falsified facts, just as so many churches now do. Though thank heaven, not all. And he says to him, ask what you want. Well, this is extraordinary. Ever heard of coming to a king faced with a seemingly hopeless situation and saying, in the name of the Lord, ask whatever you want? He made it stronger. He said, ask going upwards. Ask going downwards. Ask whatever you want. That is precisely what people are being told now in the name of Jesus Christ. Is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ask! I hope that none who hear my voice, or expect the contrary may be the case, I hope that none will do what Ahaz the king did. I will not tempt the Lord. Someone says to you how much money you want, you say, I won't tempt you. How would you have offered the money if it was a matter of temptation? If the love is such that the gift is offered, that's the wisdom of the person who offers. I will not tempt the Lord. How many people say that? Oh, I won't tempt God. I'm not good enough for that. Oh, that's not really my way. That's not really my line. I'm not really interested in that. Aren't you? There's no other name given unto man under heaven by which you must be saved. And if you want to be flotsam, floating around, jetsam, chucked out, in a universe where you cannot understand it because you're outside the realm of understanding. So be it. I will not tempt the Lord. You tempt the Lord if you refuse the truth and do not live by reality, truth, impeccable and continual. The truth about yourself and where you came from and where you're going to. Nothing comes from nothing. You've come from one adequate, and one adequate also says, I have an adequate answer. You, like Ahaz, are an impossible situation. But here's the answer. It is simple. It is clear. It is free. We finish with reading that answer once more from 2 Corinthians 5. While we're looking at this, we plan to finish this sermon next Sunday. 2 Corinthians 5. For the love of Christ, 14, compels us. Because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Death is for all. Those who receive his live not for themselves, but for him. 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Nothing. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you. On Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin, Christ was sinless, being God incarnate, to be sin for us, a sin offering for us. That if we receive it, we might become the righteousness of God in him through faith. Amen. Father, we thank thee for thy word which is true, for thy rock, which is Christ, for thy foundation, which is unshatterable. But alas, as we read in Matthew 21, those who fall on it will be broken. Those who fall on their own foundation will be broken. But if he, the Christ, the stone, the rock, falls on anyone, he'll be crushed to powder. How can you fight with your Maker without being unmade in the desolation of everlasting destruction? Oh Lord, we thank Thee that the water comes from Thee, the water of refuge. He that drinks the water I shall give shall never thirst. We thank Thee for that glorious fact. Simple, free, liberal, fluent. In Jesus' name, amen.